today. Welcome to our CMD Bite Size series. In these podcasts, we will be exploring a range of ministry and theological issues. Good morning. Today I'm joined by Jane and Anna Chaplin, based at Holy Trinity St Austell, and Sarah, our Lay Ministry Development Officer for Truro Diocese. And we're going to be talking about Anna Chaplaincy. So welcome and thank you for joining me today. Could you begin, perhaps Jane, by telling me a little bit about Anna Chaplaincy, why it's called that and what it's all about?
Yes, thank you. It was conceived by Debbie Thrower in 2014 in Alton in Hampshire, because she was very concerned for the spiritual well-being of older folk. And since then it's grown in the country, and we have, I think, nearing on 500 Anna Chaplains across the country. It's very much about the idea of Anna the priestess in the Bible, who was a faithful priestess right to the end and served God all her life. And the Anna Chaplaincy is about valuing older folk. I'd like to just read you a quote from the foreword of the handbook, if I may.
Wonderful, yeah, absolutely.
It says, Anna Chaplaincy is all about the gifts that older people have, their needs, their richness of experience, that sense that they, whatever our age, are on a journey, a pilgrimage towards God, and walking together on that road, sharing our lives, our sorrows and our joys, is a deeply enriching experience for everyone.
Lovely. And I guess that's kind of quite countercultural in some ways. And we think of so much of our identity as tied up with what we do. And perhaps when people reach retirement age, there's a certain loss of identity. So valuing people in their older age and recognising that they still have skills and experience to bring is probably quite different from what we see in society now.
Very much so. And that's what I find when I go into the care homes and hear the stories. And these people still have skills to offer, even within a care home, supporting each other in their life stories and what's happened to them and sharing experiences. And then I can go along and bring the outside world into them. Yeah. And we have services together, we have communion together. And also I go to the hospice, and that's another part of being an Anna Chaplain, is to sit along people at the end of their life and support their relatives as well.
Sure. Okay, wonderful. That sounds very rewarding and very interesting as well. I guess we are used to experiencing in churches things like models of pastoral care. Sarah, you've been involved in that in the past. Does the Anna Chaplaincy model differ from pastoral care in a traditional format within a church?
There's very much an overlap between the two. Pastoral care can be more general, more holistic, meeting people of all ages and the needs that they have, and not necessarily Christian people either. People within church communities are helped by church pastoral care. But Anna Chaplaincy is very much about the spiritual life and well-being of older people, which can get neglected as they become isolated and are unable to make it back into their church communities. Anna Chaplaincy is about making sure that that spiritual care is still being delivered to them. So it's very much a focus on a particular group of people in a particular way. And whilst many pastoral care teams probably do home communions and visiting the elderly and the isolated, Anna Chaplaincy is kind of the bit that people that dedicate themselves just particularly to that age group.
Yeah. Bit nice. Okay, that's helpful. So I can imagine actually it's very easy for people to drift away from church because they can't get to church buildings, and not all of our church buildings are the most accessible buildings in the world. And so as that changes, it's really important that it's not just about making sure that they're not lonely, but it is actually about valuing their spiritual welfare as well. And that's what Anna Chaplaincy brings. Yeah. So great. I guess today we're seeing that the population is ageing, and population's always ageing, but we have a higher demographic of older people. So does that make Anna Chaplaincy particularly important in today's context, do you think, Jay?
I think we need to go back to pre-COVID. when that came on board, people were very scared. They were very frightened. And I was in Yorkshire at the time, and we realised that there were over 40 seniors in our church who were isolated, some of them without family at all. And we saw their decline. I then moved down to Cornwall in between the two lockdowns. And the same thing was happening here. And it was so obvious that these folk were frightened of being in a crowd. They were frightened of coming back to their churches. And we have a legacy from COVID that is lingering with us. So I think it's very important that Anna chaplains are there to serve and to encourage and to walk alongside these people. We set up a group called Inspire at church for people who couldn't come back to the services when we were allowed because of the numbers. They were uncomfortable and they were missing out on fellowship. So we set a small group up that come together outside of services so that they had quality time together. They could share their fears in a safe, secure environment. That's developed and now runs on a monthly basis, and that's within church. Yeah. But that was my passion for these older folk that were feeling terribly isolated. And I think because we've got an ageing population, we have more and more people who are isolated. And because of our particular training, we can focus on them, we can listen to them, and hopefully support them in their faith as they journey on.
Yeah. And I love the idea of actually recognising that they bring skills with them, the people that you're meeting with, because I think that must give an improved sense of mental health, and that the people have still got something to contribute. And actually, it's about opening up some of those areas in which they can contribute, giving them opportunities for that and perhaps a sense of purpose as well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we're just going to do an intergenerational gathering on Sunday. I know it's not new, but it really does take some effort because some of the older folk have lost their confidence, and to ask them to get up and be a shepherd or be a king is quite an ask, but it's a great move forward for us to be doing this. So we're having that on Sunday morning, and the narrator is going to be one of our senior folk.
Wonderful.
And they have skills. They're great entertainers, and they have such stories to tell, and they are fun. And I think people have forgotten that the older folk have a lot to offer, and they are fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was at a nativity last week, and the donkey was a granddad, so he did a wonderful job of crawling up on stage, and I think having his grandchildren on his back as the donkey. So a bit different from the two-part cow outfits of a pantomime, but. So Anna chaplaincy is established to a certain extent within the Diocese of Truro. Is there a particular story that you'd like to share that's had an impact that you think is profound or worth talking about or to encourage others?
We have one that's taken about a year from its conception, and we're just about there. We were approached by social prescribing, because the Jack, who runs social prescribing, is a Christian, and he is very concerned about the spiritual health of some of his patients in the older age bracket. So we had a conversation about a year ago, and it seemed a very obvious thing for me to be pursuing, but obviously couldn't do it on my own. So we have now trained five other Anna friends to work alongside me and to work along social prescribing. We have role descriptions. They've done all their safeguarding training. We have a liaison person within Jack's team who is matching us up with patients right now. And we're very hopeful that this will swing into action in January. And Bishop David is coming to commission the Anna Friends in February. So I'm really, really excited about this, because this is going out into the community. This is taking it just one step beyond and serving people in a very special way in their own homes, with a view, I hope, to getting them out of their homes as well and back into community.
Okay, and just for those that are listening that might not have heard of the term social prescribing before, is that sort of linked to a doctor's surgery? What's social prescribing all about?
Yes, it's linked to the doctor's surgeries in St Austell, and it's providing people with alternative medication. For example, there's a walking for health group. There's sort of the knit and natter groups, that kind of thing, which provides an activity in addition to medication.
Okay, excellent.
And it also signposts people to other bereavement support, financial support, that kind of thing. They have a whole app that you can download on your phone and find out where to signpost people to.
And that sounds wonderful, like a much more holistic approach to healthcare than
Absolutely.
Just kind of looking for the symptoms and what's wrong when there might be something underlying that's causing that to happen.
Yes.
Well, I hope that goes really well.
Yes,
look forward to hearing about the Anna Friends being commissioned. Sarah, do you have a particular story or anything?
Not a story. I just want to sort of... we haven't yet talked about the fact that Anna Chaplaincy is very ecumenical. And... But though currently in the diocese we have 4 active Anna chaplains, and they are spread across Cornwall, and they all do a variety of things. So we have someone in the east of the county who runs a service for people who are living with dementia. And we have people that are regularly committed to visiting their care homes in the parish. So everybody does something slightly different where they are, depending on their community and their circumstances. As I said, Anna Chaplaincy is held by the Bible Reading Fellowship, BRF, and we are hoping that there's going to be a new Anna Chaplain in Cornwall coming from the Assemblies of God churches and to be joining the group coming up soon. So that's where we are. Very different work across different places, depending on your community.
Yeah, but that sounds very biblical, really, that actually it relates to the context and to the people and what they need where they are. So that sounds really positive. So what are your hopes for Anna Chaplaincy in the future? Is it will grow and grow or something different or diversify or...?
We have many churches that employ youth workers and focusing on the younger generations, which is very important for the church as it grows and continues to develop over time. But we mustn't forget the people that have kept the church going and have done so much work in the past. So it'd be great to see more Anna chaplains. It'd be great to see more work with other agencies, like Jane was describing, with the social prescribing, with Age UK, with the hospices, showing that the church has something to offer to the rest of the community, not just themselves.
Okay. And it's interesting to hear Jane talking about the intergenerational work, because I'm sure that children actually really value seeing older people as well. And so making some of those connections, particularly when families are much more dispersed now, they might not be living near their grandparents, they might not have those natural connections with older people because of geographic distances or whatever. So actually finding spaces for communities to interact well is really important. And it sounds like that's part of the work that you do. So if churches are interested in exploring Anna Chaplaincy, what might this involve? How would they just approach you? Do they need to get volunteers that are interested first? What sort of things happen?
I think the first thing to do, if you're thinking of a ministry in this area and you've got to have a passion for it and a love for it, is to go to the website.
Yeah.
It's to simply go onto the Anna Chaplaincy website, and it's all there, and it will tell you what is required and where to go for further information. They do quite often a 90-minute taster Zoom, which is a good thing to do, which I did before I went any further, because it gives you the whole course outline and the philosophy behind it. Once you've done that, then you need to talk to your PCC about it, because you need their backing. They have to get a head licence agreement and they have to pay for it, which is minimal when you think of the hours an Anna Chaplaincy might work. So it's really quite straightforward. And then it's 6 2-hour sessions of training plus a handbook, and then you are licensed to go out and serve.
Okay. And is the training online or is that
in person? Yes, it's all online. Once a year, there is an annual gathering for Anna Chaplains, but I've not made that yet because it's always been too far away. But we have regular meetings on Zoom. The initial training, once that's over, you can access other training always online, ongoing. There's all sorts of things come up. There's an end of life one just come up. Dementia ones will come up on a regular basis. And spirituality comes up as well. And they're all online. And it's good to keep up with all of that because you then share with other Anna Chaplains across the country, which is always good practice.
So do you feel well supported as an Anna Chaplain within that network? Or?
I do indeed. I know them all. I've hardly met any of them, but I know them all on Zoom and they know who I am. If I email them, I get a lovely reply, almost as though they've all met me and they know all about me. So, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And for anybody that's exploring it and thinks maybe I don't have enough knowledge or enough background, is there a kind of minimum entry requirement or is it more about a passion and a desire to work with older people?
Well, you have to be recommended by your church. You have to be involved in your church in some way and have demonstrated a level of skill. But I think the passion is first and foremost. And then you can look at yourself and do a self-assessment and look at what you have to offer. And then you are asked to be, as I say, part of a going concern, as it were, and can be recommended for the post.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, thank you both for joining me today. And I hope that everything continues to flourish and grow with the Anna Chaplaincy and look forward to hearing more about both the commissioning that's coming up and also the opportunities for the intergenerational work and how that develops with the social prescribing. So thank you once again. It's good to hear a little bit more about the work that you're involved in.
You've been listening to CMD Bite Size Podcasts, produced by the Diocese of Truro. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do follow and share. To listen to similar podcasts, please visit the Truro Diocese website. If there is a subject you would like us to include, please email us at ministry@truro-diocese.org.uk.